All right. Thank you very much. Very much. Take our Bibles, if you will, please, and we're going to 1 Peter. And we've been working on this for weeks and weeks and weeks, and Lord willing, we're going to kind of come to a culmination of some things here this morning. First Peter, and we're going to be looking at chapter 3. We want to live the good life. We've been singing about it. And, of course, the second psalm says, if you want to have the good life, let him have his way with thee. And God is good. But we got to put ourselves in this, underneath the spout where the blessings come out. When we step away from the paths of righteousness, we're stepping out from underneath the spout where the blessings come out. We're going to find ourselves in the briars and the thorns, and we're going to see things. We're going to see ourselves cause ourselves problems and so forth. And so God wants to give us a good life, and He has told us exactly how to do it. The problem is we I hate to say it, sometimes we just don't bother. Sometimes we refuse to do what God has asked us to do. And we say, well, no one else is doing it, and that's why they're having trouble too. You say, well, they look like they're having trouble. Listen, I've been around long enough. I was born at night, but I wasn't born last night. And the fact is that there's an awful lot of stuff that goes on sometimes. You've got families that look fine on the outside of church. But boy, when you get home, it's a whole different ballgame. They know how to, it all looks fine on the outside. But listen, it should be the same on the home than it is at a church. And the thing is it should be who we are, not what we put on, but who we are. And that's what I've been trying to do. And by the way, we cannot become that on our own. That's the whole thing. So, well, they think they're so great. We're not. And if anybody thinks, if you think you can be so great, you're wrong. In fact, you're setting yourself up for problems. You're setting yourself up for failure, because in us dwelleth no good thing. That is in our flesh. And so what do we got to do? We got to do what we've been talking about here, about letting the Lord add the godliness to us. But how do we do that? We got to do the process that He's asking us to do. And it doesn't seem like it makes sense to us, but Lord willing, if it made sense, it wouldn't take faith. And we're the just or live by faith. So we need to do what God has asked us to do, and He will bless us in a way that He promises to bless us. But we got to do it His way. So, as we read these passages, I want you to think about, first of all, who is writing them? Peter. Now, I don't know if, especially those who read through their Bible, you've read through the Gospels, and you see what Peter was like when he was young and growing. And in fact, I call him presumptuous, impetuous, pompous Peter. He was a mess. Now, God saw the goodness in him. God saw the potential in him. Not the goodness, because we don't have this. We're not good ourselves. But He saw the potential in him. And God was willing to use that potential. But listen, there's some things they had to learn. Peter did learn those things. How did he learn it? By spending time with the Lord and becoming like Him, gaining the knowledge of God. In fact, He's the one that's teaching this. How do you become what you're supposed to be? Add to your faith virtue, and a virtue, knowledge. Virtue is the desire to do what it takes to get the victory. And what is that? The knowledge of God. And over and over and over again, we have seen in the last few months, passage after passage after passage, where it comes from getting to know God and God instilling us the ultimate of who He is, which is love, which is who He is. God is love. And that is, you say, well, that doesn't make any sense. I'm just telling you that it's going to change your life in a drastic way if you haven't already done it. It will change your life when we decide we're going to gain the knowledge of God and let Him become part of who we are. So, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 8, it says, finally, which really doesn't mean anything when the preacher says so. He says, finally, and after he's got three more chapters to go, two and a half more chapters to go. But anyway, finally, be ye all of one mind. Let's look at this way. Look at this way. Put yourself in the other man's shoes before you attack him and criticize him. Be of one mind. Put yourself in his place. Think what he would be thinking right now. Put yourself where he is. Finally, be all of one mind, watch, having compassion one of another. Give the guy a break. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. In other words, full of pity. Not, don't mean pitiful yourself. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Give the guy, be kind to him. I mean, be nice to the guy. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise. In other words, the opposite. Blessing. Knowing that ye are thereunto called that ye should inherit a blessing. You know what that says? Here's how you get the blessing. This is how you inherit the blessing, by being a blessing. You reap what you sow. In other words, that word, it says inherit, that means a sharer of the lot. In other words, my mom and dad, they both passed away, and I've inherited their things, a lot of their things. My sister and I have inherited, split them down the middle, and so forth. We've inherited their things because I'm part of the family. I didn't work to get it. I get it because I'm part of the family. He says, these are things that are yours. Here's how you get it. Be part of the family. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they should be called the children of God. How do you live like part of the family? Be like part of the family. Live like part of the family. Watch. Now watch this. This is very important. Verse 10. For he that will love life and see good days. And then it says, here's some things we want you to do. He says, if you want to enjoy life, here's what I want you to do. There's an awful lot of people that say, I want to go out and enjoy life. They think I'm going to enjoy life by going out and getting drunk. They think I'm going to enjoy life by going out and doing drugs. So if I'm going to enjoy life if I go shopping every day. I'm going to enjoy life if I have two or three women on the side. No, he says, listen, if you want to enjoy life, there's some things you want to do. If he that will love life, are you going to love life when you're divorced? Are you going to love life when you come home with a hangover? Are you loving life when the drugs has eaten up your organs and you're dying of cirrhosis of the liver, your kidneys are going bad? You're going to love life then? Are you loving life when the credit card bill shows up and you got $10,000 worth of credit card debt? Are you loving life now? He said, you want to love life. You want to see the good in life. He says, he that will love life and see good days. Having a good day? Watch. Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil. In other words, avoid wrong things at all costs. Let him eschew evil and do good. In other words, be of benefit to others. Let him seek peace and ensue. In other words, try to be nice and stay out of trouble and get along with folks. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open unto the prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. In other words, the Lord responds to you in kind. He responds how we're living. He responds to us in the same way. We're going to do right. He's going to bless that which is right. I mean, sometimes people, you're just compromising. You're just being nice. You're just trying to stay out of trouble. You're schmoozing people. What's wrong with being nice? Listen, everybody has problems. If we didn't overlook each other's problems, we'd all be at war with everybody. Right? We say, well, he did it against me. That's a different story. Yeah. So when it's all done, what are you going to get out of it? Well, it proves I'm right. And who cares? Well, I care. Are you loving life? Well, I know that I was right. And you know what? He who judges righteously also knows that you were right. But you, well, you know what? He knows that you're right, but you just sacrificed the blessing because you did it in an ungodly manner. Jump over to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, just over a page, chapter 1. This is where we started months ago. He says, verse 1, Simon Peter, the presumptuous, pompous fellow, a servant, apostle of Jesus Christ, he's become meek and humble before God. To them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, we're saved by grace through faith, that not of ourselves is a gift of God. He says, I want grace and peace multiplied unto you. How? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. I want that grace and peace to be on your life. How? According as his divine nature, the grace and peace is multiplied as his divine nature hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life, the mundane, normal things of life, marriage and finances and kids and business and bosses and it says, in godliness, our spiritual life through him, being like Christ. How? Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. God has great plans for you. Now, our song we just sang, when I see all this, I see how he has planned. The last verse talks about there, indwelling in Beulah Lamb. Watch. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. We can escape divorce. We can escape addictions. We can escape financial ruin. We can escape suicidal thoughts. In other words, we can avoid those things. You avoid those things by avoiding, watch me, the wickedness within, which is in the world. But listen, in us dwelleth no good thing. We are drawn away our own lust and enticed. And when lust is conceived, it brings forth the sin, the action of sin. And sin, when it's finished, it brings forth death. But how do you get rid of that? I have to have the mind of God. Godliness, God-likeness. And how am I going to get that? If I add to my faith, look what it says. Beside this, giving all, verse 5, giving all diligence. The fight is not in me deciding I'm going to be good. I know I am. I'm not going to eat that second piece of cheesecake today. I'm just not going to do it. I got drunk last night. I got drunk last night. I'm not going to ever do that again. Just not going to do it. Yeah, you will. How do you overcome? How do you escape the corruption that's in the world through lust? He says here, whereby, beside this, giving all diligence to add to your faith. But see, I'm saved. I should be getting, all this should be fixed right now. Not until, faith gets you to heaven. We need to add to our faith virtue. The manly valor to do what it takes to get the victory. And what is that? Knowledge. Get to know the Word of God and the author of the Word of God. Now, that's going to take some time. It's not always easy. So it's going to take temperance, self-control. And temperance is add then patience. That means the enduring. Just do it and do it. And when we do that, God will add godliness. We're not going to add godliness to it because we have no godliness to add. How can we add godliness to ourselves? Godliness has to come from God. Humanness comes from me. Sinfulness comes from me. Godliness comes from God. So God will add the godliness to me. If he does, then I'm going to start acting like he does. I'm going to have brotherly kindness. Not fake kind. Oh, this is fine. Oh, that guy's stupid. It's not this fake stuff. It's the real stuff. And then it says not only brotherly kindness, but charity, which is agape love. Now, here we go. Look at verse 8. Walk through with it. For if these things, watch me, be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. And we're going to cover all that in a little bit. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, instead of doing what you've been doing, give diligence, here's again, to make your calling and election sure. That means stable. It means steadfast. Make your consistent. In other words, have a good, consistent Christian life. There's some people who are saved. And maybe I'm talking about you. You're saved, but you got your good days, you got your bad days. You got some days, and some days you act like you're saved, and some days looks like you wouldn't have any idea what salvation is at all. There's some things about our life that are just perfectly fine, but there's these weaknesses, these little things we give into, and we just, it seems like it's been right around this cycle, year after year after year, you know. Never happy, always looking for something else. They're in a cycle of things. He says, no, we can make our calling, our salvation sure, like a sure foundation. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. In other words, look at this. You do not fall while you're doing these things. But if you let them slip away, you cannot claim the great and precious promises that are given to those who give all diligence to know God. It's not once and done. You eat every day, don't you? Because your body needs to be rejuvenated every day. Our spiritual body, our spiritual cells need to be rejuvenated every day on a regular basis. Now watch this. Verse 11. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For in other words, this is the process that opens the door to the blessings of heaven on your life. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. I want to have a word of prayer. I'm talking on this. Living the good life. Now hang with me here this morning. I'm pulling a lot of things together here. Living the good life. Let's pray. Father, again, we ask for your Holy Spirit to move and give us exactly what we need. Got a lot to cover in just a few moments. Pray that you'll bless these times. Bless each one. Pray that you'll apply it to each of our hearts and our lives. We all need it. It's something we all need on a regular basis. So, Father, we're going to put it in your hands, and we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Number one. We should add the knowledge of God to our faith, and if we do, God will add godliness to us, and the epitome of godliness is godly love. How many times we've talked about that in the last few weeks? It says in Ephesians 3:16 that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with the might by his Spirit in the inner man. Verse 19, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that he might be filled with all the fullness of God. If you're full of God, you can be full of godly love. Number two, if we fail to abound in the knowledge of God, we will fail to experience the great and precious promises which come with doing as God has commanded. Let me say that again. If we fail to abound in the knowledge of God, we will fail to experience the great and precious promises that we just read about, which come with doing as God has commanded. You can decide to do it your way, but it's not going to work. You're not going to get the results doing what you've been doing. You know the old saying? This is the definition of insanity. To keep doing the same thing, expecting a different outcome. Well, we've always done it this way. Yeah, and this is why you're complaining. Well, they never said they had a problem with it because they were forgiving you. And after a while, their forgiver just wore out. We reap what we sow. And by the way, you always reap what you sow. You reap more than you've sown. And you reap later than when you've sown. It may not show up right away. But as the old saying, the chickens are going to come back to roost. So number three, to have the great and precious promises, to live the good life, we must have godliness, which means having the mind of Christ. And we gain the knowledge of God through the Word of God. Ephesians 4:11 says this, it gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, watch, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect or mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He said, we're learning these things to become more like Christ. Have you ever seen that commercial about cheese that's not mature yet? Cheese is acting stupid because it's not mature. Did you see that? Well, you're not missing a whole lot. But anyway, they got these, you know, balls of cheese or these, you know, cheese wheels or whatever, and they're acting stupid. And said, well, he hasn't matured yet. That's his problem. That's what this word perfect means. He says, I want you to grow up. Some of us are immature Christians and we're not acting like Christ. We're still acting like the flesh. We're still acting like we cry every time we don't get our way. We yell, we stop when we try to get what we want. If we don't get what we want, we will just lie. We'll talk about people. We're like a bunch of children. Why? Because we haven't grown in the Lord. And by the way, do you think you're going to live the good life that way? I'll tell you what happens. People start avoiding you. You don't become their friend because they'll be telling everything they know about you. After a while, they don't want to be around. You're not living the good life. Besides that, we don't live righteously. We're not expecting God. Listen, God's not going to have his ears open to our prayers. Number four, if we really want to have the good life, then all of us involved should be participating in gaining the knowledge of God so godliness, will be developed in us and exercised in all directions. What am I saying? Well, you know what? Brother Nathan said this. If everybody else would be nice, I'd be just fine. It's not my fault. It's not my fault I got angry. Do you know what they said to me? Well, maybe they're saying that because you did something and it's not their fault that they're angry. No, it is your fault. We all make choices every day. We live in a world where there's no fault divorce. No fault divorce. We just don't want to be married anymore. Then, not my fault. We don't want to take responsibility for anything. Listen, anything that I do, I'm responsible for. If someone jumps down my throat and I curse back at them, who's responsible for the cursing? I've heard people say they get in a heated situation, and all of a sudden, before long, poof, all these words start flying out there. So, man, I don't know where that came from. That's just not me. Well, it didn't come out of my mouth. And it wasn't anybody else standing here. And your mouth was open when I heard it. It came from you. Out of the treasure of the heart, the mouth speaks. Don't tell me it wasn't you. And by the way, if it's me, it's me. I can't claim it's not me. If I do it, it's me. So in other words, how do you change that? I need to change me. Except that I can't change me. Only God can change me. Because godliness comes from God. Now, look what it says in verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind. In other words, have compassion. Look at this. Have compassion one on another. Look out for one another rather than yourselves. We seek not our own. Love seeks not our own. It says love is brethren. In other words, we have brotherly kindness. Be friendly. I've seen married couples who just can't even be friendly to one another. Simple human decency. It says, be pitiful. In other words, full of tender heartedness. Touch with the feelings of others. Interacting with them in tender heartedness. Give them a break. Look, it says, be courteous. Be friendly. Rein in your disappointment of others. Don't be looking down or disesteeming others, but giving men your best. Number 9, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing. Not returning wrong for wrong, eye for an eye. Not speaking abusively in response to abuse. But contrarywise, blessing. Knowing that ye are thereunto, watch, called that ye should inherit a blessing. How are you going to get that blessing? How are you going to get that blessing? By being a blessing. Well, they don't deserve for me to bless. Okay, well, fine. You do without your blessing. Just do without it. He says you inherit the blessing by being a blessing. Some of us are so selfish about being a blessing, they're never blessed. And it becomes a backward cycle. Well, no one ever says that to me. I don't have any friends. No one likes me. No one will sit next to me. Well, no wonder. Bible says, he that would have friends, let him show himself friendly. But we say, well, that's just not the way I am. I know. That's what we're trying to fix. We need godliness in us to do this. We need God working in us. Now, number 5. If the love of God rules and reigns in our hearts, watch. And it only will if we give all diligence to add the knowledge of God to our faith, then the great and precious promises of God will be manifested in our lives. He says, we will experience the inheritance of God in our lives. In fact, if you go back to 1 Peter chapter 3, and let me go back to verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, the wives, according to the knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. You know what, God, listen, watch. It is more important to me to have God's ear and have Him hear my prayers than it is to prove to my wife that I'm right. Now you think about that a second. She may or may not acquiesce and tell me that I'm right. But I am not going to sacrifice my walk with God and the blessed hand of God on my life just to prove to her that I was right. Now I suppose amen right there. Yeah, but then she might not. Listen, it's more important what God thinks of me than what she thinks of me. It's more, listen, you say, well, you're just a doormat. Whip. She's got you whooped. Fine, go ahead. If you want to think that, you go ahead and think that. But I'm not giving any of that up to lose the blessing of God. Watch me. God will have His ears and His ears open to our prayers, but if we refuse to do this God's way, it is sin. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And then it says, and their prayers be not hindered. And I mentioned that the other day. I think a lot of couples are struggling because their prayers are not getting answered because they're too busy bickering between the two of them. And they're bickering over things that they're not getting their blessing. They're bickering over their finances and bickering over how to raise the kids and bickering over this and out of that. And they can't get along. And now they're going to get a divorce because they're bickering over this stuff. Because they're not getting their prayers answered. And the problem is they stop bickering, maybe God, and ask God to forgive them. And they ask forgiveness between the two of them. God will start blessing, and maybe they'll have less to bicker over. You follow what I'm saying? God starts to bless them. And all of a sudden, there's nothing there to bicker over. But we miss out because we're too busy trying to prove we're right. So if you want to have a life that's really worth living, and is a blessing to you, look what it says in verse 10, chapter 1, Peter, I'm sorry, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. For he that will love life and see good days. You ever said, boy, we're having a good day. That's such a good day today. You want to see good days? Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. You know what he says? Close your trap. You don't have to say everything that comes into your brain. You don't have to prove how smart you are and how wrong they are. When it's all said and done, what will you have accomplished? They'll know that I'm right. Yep. And pride comes before destruction, and the Holy Spirit before a fall. Only by pride cometh contention. You happy in the contention? Wait a minute, I thought we're supposed to love our days. Love, have a life that we could love and have good days. Contentious days are not good days. So what's the problem? Pride. What's the remedy? Godliness, which is love. Love doesn't care if you think I'm the best. Love doesn't care about being proven right. Love cares for the souls of others. Grievous words stir up anger. Soft answer turneth away wrath. Watch this. So watch your tongue. Watch else. Verse 11. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. What does that mean? Shun or avoid evil as much as possible. What's evil? Well, I'm not evil. You know what evil is? Something that's not good. That's really, it's not good. It's not neutral, but it's not good. Number six, when we allow the love of God to live out through us, we will enjoy life much more. The Lord wants to bless you, but we must meet the requirement to love like God. And that will only happen if we give all diligence to add the knowledge of God to our faith. Look at verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto the prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Do you realize that folks are less likely to do you damage if we live like Christ? We reap what we sow. Look at verse 13. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. He says, listen, if you're out there doing right, what's the chance of that person going to be mean to you? I mean, if you're living with the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith. How do you get mad at that? Unless you're so full of pride, you don't like being, you know, one upped over being a good person. But how do you, how's that hard to live with? Well, I say, well, I did what was right and I still got in trouble. Well, listen, one of these days you're going to stand before God. Do you want to get in trouble now for doing right? Or you want to get in trouble later for doing wrong? The chances are you're going to have a much better life if we decide to live like Christ here. But again, we cannot live like Christ because that's not within us. So if I want the blessings, I want Him to hear my prayer, which is going to make it even more of a blessing. And so then I'm going to have to have godliness in my life rather than me. And so I'm going to have to, a new way to get to the godliness is to add to my faith virtue and temperance and patience and to get the knowledge of God. Listen, living in the fruit of the Spirit is going to bring more blessings to your life than those selfish works of the flesh. Look at verse 15. So sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that's in you with meekness and fear. That word sanctify the Lord God in your heart means this. Set Him apart and make a big deal about the Lord God. That's the main purpose. That's my priority in life. My priority in life is not to prove to everybody else that I'm right. My priority in right is to know, priority in life is to know God. And He takes care of the rest. And then it says, listen, be ready to give a reason for the hope that's within you. People start saying, why do you always seem to end up with, you know, like a cat? You always end up on your feet. I'll tell you why. Because God is merciful. And I just try to stay under the spout where the blessings come out. And I know that's right along the path of righteousness. I just got to do, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Righteousness is not what we think it is. Righteousness is not what the woke crowd says it is. Righteousness is what God says it is. There's some people think the righteous thing to do is to kill the baby rather than have a baby be born in a family who doesn't want it. Well, frankly, I don't want the ones who kill babies. So let's kill you and put you out of your misery. Either way, it's murder. See what I'm saying? The righteousness of the world is twisted. The righteousness of God says, there's life. You do not take life. Buck up and love that little baby. That's what it means. Well, I didn't want to have the baby. It was forced on me. I was raped. I understand. That's a terrible thing. But is it possible? Hang on. Don't get mad at me. Is it possible to have love that goes beyond knowledge? That would love that baby in spite of the source it came from. Knowing that it is a soul created by God that God has a plan for. Even though it came into the world illegitimately. So I don't have that kind of love. You're right. We don't. God does. God solves that problem. But I'm not going to have it until I add the knowledge of God. God loves me. Who was the guy? I'm going to say Japheth. Was he the guy in Judges? Jephthah. Jephthah, yeah. God used Jephthah to deliver the Israelites. He was the illegitimate son of a prostitute. He was the illegitimate son of a prostitute.
And God used him to deliver Israel. But today, you know, we would have aborted the deliverer of Israel because he was unwanted by us, not necessarily unwanted by God. Number 7, go to 2 Peter real quick. Well, I got so much to look here. 2 Peter, back to chapter 1, verse 8. Now watch this. Here's the promise of a good life. Verse 8. For if these things, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. If these things be in you, watch, and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me walk through this. He says, for if these things be in you, now watch me, they must be. These things must be. It didn't say, I've heard of them. I was there when the preacher talked about them. I understand how it works. These things have to be in you. You have to digest this, accept it, receive it, make it part of your life. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, in your life. Make Him a priority. I'm going to have the knowledge of God, even if it's for a selfish reason, because I want to enjoy life. I am going to, watch me, you're going to sound crazy. I'm going to enjoy life more if I make Christ my priority than if I make my wife my priority. If I make Christ my priority, she's going to have a better husband. I'm going to make Christ my priority instead of my kids. I'm going to have a better life. And by the way, I'll have a better life because I'll have better kids, but my kids will have a better daddy. I'm going to make Christ my priority in life and not making money. But don't you want to have a good life? Absolutely. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things are added to you. Listen, we make making money and having things as if it's the priority of life. God says, no, it's a byproduct of getting to know me. That just comes with the deal. My new van out here has one of those heads-up things. You know what that means? You look in the windshield, there's a reflection of your speed limit and your speed and all this kind of stuff on the windshield. You look down, it's all right there, okay? Not that I pay a whole lot of attention to it, but there it is. And it tells you how fast you're going and so forth, right there. Now listen, I didn't buy a car so that I could have heads-up thing. It came with a deal. I want to have the heads-up thing. I'm going to find a heads-up. Listen, just get the right car. And it had already on there. Listen, I want to have a good life. I need to get him. The rest of it comes with the deal. These things need to be in you. They must actually exist. Not just talking about, not just agree that we need them, but truly exist. Giving all diligence to add these things to your faith. Watch. And to abound. If these be in you and abound. And that word abound means actively within you, living, breathing, action, more than just existing, to be abundant in and increasing. In other words, it's not just laying in there dormant. It's alive. These things that I've added to my faith, they're actively working in my life. It's not something that I just put on. That's really good. Well, I'll put that in my Bible and I'll note that and lay it there on the rest of the coffee table. And one of these days when I read my Bible, I'll probably see it again.
No, abound is living and alive in your heart, and you're doing, you're using it. And then it says, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of God. That word make you means it sets in motion. It constitutes, it designates, it makes you who you are. It makes you so that you won't be barren. That means you won't be inactive, unable to accomplish anything. You won't be useless. Without these things, you're really not even attempting to have the good life. So why are we surprised that life has so much non-good in it? You want to have the good life, we've got to have the godliness. We're not adding the godliness, we're not going to have the good life. Why are we surprised? It says, nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. That word unfruitful means without fruit, accomplishing little, not producing positive things, lack of the fruit of the Spirit. It says, unfruitful in the knowledge, that means the full discernment, acknowledgement of truth. In other words, this person is not building a knowledge of God in his heart, and thus he is not seeing what that knowledge should be producing in our lives. We're not seeing, we're unfruitful. We're not, life is not getting any better. I got saved, and it's not getting any better. That's because we've got salvation. We've got heaven. Now what we need is for God to get you. You give him you. And then let him start doing the work and you'll start seeing you're getting a good life. This person is unable to see the things the way the Lord sees them. Thus, he misses out on what the Lord wants to produce in his life. He should be able to have full discernment through the knowledge of God, but they don't because why? They're not abounding in these things and making them real. Verse 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind. Whew. Blind. That lacketh means, what? It's not near, not at hand, not there ready to step in. He doesn't really have the knowledge of God in his pocket. Have you ever been so placed? I get so now that I don't... You got these key fobs. I don't even ever get it out anymore. You just walk up to the car, and you pull the door open, and this and that. And you just got to have it thereby in you. Every once in a while, though, there's something you got to do, and you got to get it. But still here. I still keep it nearby. Don't leave it at home. Listen, people come to church, and they get the knowledge of God, and they leave it here. I'll come back and get it next week. I'll pick up where I left off. I'll leave it right here. And wonder why our life is not any better out there because we didn't put it in our pockets, take it with it. We lacked it. We didn't have it. He said, I want you to have it right there with you. He that lacketh these things, watch, is blind. That word blind means to be enveloped in smoke. In other words, really watch, to be so high-minded and inflated with self-conceit that we cannot see reality through the haze of our fleshly reasoning. This guy thinks he already knows what he needs to know and doesn't seem to need to know anything else, so he's not going to give all diligence to add the knowledge of God. So he's like he's driving in the fog. Have you ever driven where the fog is so thick you can't see the end of the hood? We're asking to have an accident and thus damage and hurt, not to mention just making wrong turns in life. Now, that could give you a happy life. Are you going to look back at life and say, well, that was great? But watch me. We've all done this. Stop it. If it is, stop it. Today's a new day. His mercies are new every morning. Let's do it right this time. And then it says, he cannot see afar off. That really, it literally means to shut your eyes. I had a guy do that literally with me. I was at their house, and I was kind of asked to kind of come over and see if I have an opportunity to give this guy the gospel. And we had a nice chat. We had talked a little while. And then I said, you know what? Let me ask you a crazy question. I said, if you found yourself outside the gates of heaven, and you knocked on the door, and they asked you why they should let you in the door, what would you tell them? He says, stop. I know where you're going. Just stop. I'm not going there. He literally shut his eyes. He said, we're not going there. I like you. We're having a nice conversation.
But we're not going there. Just shut it down. There's an awful lot of people who hear the word of God, they read it, and it's not real in their heart because of I don't hear it. And whether they do this like this, or they just, if simply in their mind, they close it. Doesn't make any difference. We're still missing out. They're going to go through life with their eyes closed and wonder why they end up in bad places. I know we've got to get out of here. Proverbs 4:10 says, "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I've taught thee in the way of wisdom, and I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. When thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. Pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief. Their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." And you know what we're going to say? Yeah, but I'm not wicked. What is wickedness? Wicked just simply means wrong. In other words, ungodlike, which is the opposite of godliness. If I'm not godly, then apparently I'm not like God. I'm ungodly. Not neutral. There's error in our lives. There's areas in our lives. There's different areas in your life. Some places you're trying to live like God, some places we're just not. The more we live in a godly way, how am I going to know whether it's godly? Get the knowledge of God. The more I live godly, the more I'm going to find the blessings of God. If I said, "I'm going to give you a quart of ice cream." Well, okay, thank you. I was supposed to say, "I'll give you a gallon." Gallon's better than a quart. What if I go over to Twirly Top over here where the rentals are and I buy one of their containers? I think there's like 3 gallons in that. I'll give it a 3-gallon tub of ice cream. Is that better? Well, sure it is. Do you want to live a so-so life? Or better life? Or the good life? The world says grab all the gusto you can get. Their gusto is going to lead to a hangover, probably marriage issues, if not divorce, accident, drinking alcohol, overdosing on drugs. It's not the good life. God says, "I've got rules to give you the good life, and they're not that hard. It's just stay out of the trouble." And we have a choice to make. Verse 10, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure." That word is like a sure foundation. 2 Timothy says this, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure." In other words, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delighteth in his way. Proverbs 3 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy paths." The Bible says in our passage here in 2 Peter, he says, "If you do these things, you shall never fall. Never be tripped up." Proverbs 3 says, "My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom, discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul, grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in the way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid, yet thou shalt lie down, and sleep shall be sweet." And then he says, "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly, verse 11, unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord. He says, this is the door to the blessed life. What? Giving all diligence to add to your faith virtue. Virtue, knowledge. Knowledge, temperance. To temperance, patience. God will start adding godliness, which will bring in brotherly kindness and breed charity. He says you either have these things and they abound, they're active in your life. You won't be barren or unfruitful. But if you lack these things, you'll be blind. Can't see afar off. To the point where you almost don't even realize you have a Christian life at all. You've forgotten you've been purged from your old sins. Forgotten that you have the door to heaven. He says, these things are given to you for an entrance to the blessings of God. Walk through the door of God's blessings. Every time we add more godliness, we're getting further in that door, the God's blessing. If you live a life of good, which only comes from God, if you live a life of good, you will most likely live the good life.